the Enterprise approaches a twin planet system, one red, one blue.
Passing outer planet Zeon.
We want the inner one, Echos. Plot a standard orbit, Mr. Chekov, and take us in.
Aye, sir.
Lieutenant Devora, try to raise John Gill on Starfleet Communications.
Aye, aye, sir.
Starfleet's been trying for 6 months. If he's still alive, isn't it unlikely that he'd receive us now?
I don't know, Bones. We're here to find out what's happened because I don't know.
I never met John Gill, but I studied Earth history from the text he prepared.
I knew him very well. He was my instructor at the Academy.
What impressed me most was his treatment of Earth history as causes and motivations rather than dates and events.
Captain, no response on any Starfleet channel.
Spacecraft approaching from inner planet.
Mekos?
Yes, but it must be a Zeon ship. Zeons do have a crude interplanetary capability. Reaction powered, a small rocket. It is on an intercept course.
He looks over at Kirk.
I mean, it has sophisticated detection devices, which neither Zeon nor Echos should have.
Have you raised anyone, Lieutenant?
Nothing, sir.
Captain,
it is an unmanned probe which seems to be carrying a warhead.
Kirk moves over to Chekov at the con.
Stand by phasers.
Phasers ready.
Range, Mr. Chekov.
2,000 kilometers, closing fast.
Fire!
A huge fireball blossoms ahead of the Enterprise.
Fascinating. A thermonuclear warhead.
It's generations ahead of where these people should be technically. How did they manage that?
Maybe they had help.
Spock glances at John Gill's photo on his screen.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. Patterns of Force, written by John Meredith Lucas, directed by Vincent McKeevity.
Plot a maximum orbit. Take us out of range of their detection devices.
Most interesting. We were attacked by a thermonuclear missile from a planet which should have no such weapon.
Orbit computed and locked in, sir.
Execute.
Captain, no response from John Gill on any channel.
He must be dead. And what's going on down there on Echos?
According to our records, the Echosians are a primitive, warlike people in a state of anarchy. The other planet, Zeon, has a relatively high technology, and its people are peaceful.
Run into a far more serious problem than the disappearance of John Gill. Spock, you and I will beam down. Bones, one precaution. Prepare a subcutaneous transponder in the event we can't use our communicators. Insert the transponder, Doctor.
McCoy injects Kirk and Spock in the forearm. They're both wearing nondescript civilian clothes. Spock has a woolly hat.
Make one low pass to communication range in 3 hours. If we fail to make contact at the appointed time, take our coordinates from the transponder and beam us aboard no matter what our condition may be.
Aye, sir. Whatever your condition.
You ready?
Ready, Captain.
Kirk and Spock step onto the transporter chamber.
Anodized.
They beam down to Ecosia, arriving in a small town square. The architecture is vaguely 19th century European, except for a video screen in an arched doorway.
The Ecosians are humanoid, so there's apt to be a similarity in architecture. Interesting.
They look around. A young man tumbles down a flight of stone steps. He looks up at them.
Hide! They're right behind me! Hide! Hide!
Spock and Kirk duck behind a building. Three men appear.
Zeon pig. On your feet, pig.
The men wear jackboots, pale brown uniforms, and peaked caps. Their leader has a swastika armband.
Captain, the non-interference directive.
Hold. Hands above your head, Zeon. Fire. Keep your hands in the air so you don't touch anything Ecosian. You swine have defiled us for the last time, but that's no end. Move!
They truncheon the Zeon in the kidneys and hustle him away.
Unbelievable. Do you recognize those uniforms?
Mid-20th century Earth, the nation-state called Nazi Germany.
Attention! 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 An announcement from Fuhrer headquarters. Today, the Fuhrer has ordered our glorious capital to be made Zeon-free. Starting at dawn, our heroic troops began flushing out the Zeon monsters who've been poisoning our planet.
How could this have happened? The chances of another planet developing a culture like Nazi Germany using the forms, the symbols, the uniforms of 20th century Earth are so fantastically slim.
Virtually impossible, Captain. Yet the evidence is quite clear.
The video continues.
Fuhrer's headquarters reports repulsing an attack by Zeon spacecraft. Our missiles utterly destroyed the enemy.
You look quite well for a man who's been utterly destroyed, Mr. Spine.
At this patriotic demonstration, Deputy Fuhrer Melikon presented the Iron Cross, second class, to Darris, hero of the fatherland.
The screen shows the ceremony.
Everywhere, preparations go forward toward the final decision. Death to Zeon. Long live the fatherland. Long live the Fuhrer.
He salutes a photo on the newsroom wall.
That's John Gill. The Fuhrer?
Fascinating.
You, Zeon.
A lieutenant in a gray SS uniform with a steel helmet points his pistol at them. They approach.
What kind of monsters are the Zeon sending against us?
You're right. He's not one of us.
What do you mean?
Look at him.
Kirk knocks him out.
Spock, take his uniform.
You propose we pass ourselves off as Nazis, Captain?
If John Gill is the Fuhrer, it would seem the logical approach.
That's very well taken, Captain.
Spock peels off his woolen hat. Later, as a trooper with a submachine gun crosses the square, Spock appears from a doorway in his borrowed SS uniform. The steel helmet covers his ears. Kirk is still in civilian clothes.
That helmet covers a multitude of sins.
Lieutenant, what have we here?
A Gestapo major approaches.
A Zeon?
Yes, obviously he's not one of us. I captured him. Is that not the correct procedure with enemies of the fatherland?
With all Zeon pigs, Lieutenant.
Take charge of him.
With pleasure. Today we have a surprise planned for you, Zeon.
Spock gives the major a Vulcan nerve pinch.
Your uniform, Captain.
Yes, it's a shame yours isn't as attractive as mine. Gestapo, I believe.
Quite correct. You should make a very convincing Nazi.
Later, both in uniform, they approach a headquarters decorated with Nazi flags. An SS officer comes down the steps. Kirk salutes him. Spock doesn't.
Lieutenant! Have you forgotten how to salute? Your papers.
Your orders, Lieutenant. He wants to see your orders in the jacket. The lieutenant's a little dazed. He captured several Zeons single-handed. One of the pigs struck him before he dropped. I promise you that pig will never get up again.
Good work, Lieutenant.
Hail the Fuhrer.
Hail to the Fuhrer.
Hail. This is a day to remember, Major.
Lieutenant, better see a doctor. You don't look well. Your color.
Yes, I shall tend to it, Major.
Lieutenant!
Spock, halfway up the entrance steps, turns back.
Your helmet, remove it.
We have urgent business with the Fuhrer.
Lieutenant, remove your helmet.
The two guards at the doorway raise their guns. Spock reluctantly takes off his helmet, revealing his slanting Vulcan eyebrows and pointed ears. In a basement, the Major watches an Ecosian SS torturer whip Spock and Kirk, who stand manacled and bare-chested. The Zeon they saw arrested watches from a nearby cell.
Enough. Do you wish to speak now?
Neither Spock or Kirk move. The Major goes over to Kirk.
Tell me your orders. You were sent here to kill Afira. Confess. Do you want some more persuasion?
You're making this a rather one-sided conversation, Major.
Do not joke with me, Zeon Pig.
Kirk gives him a contemptuous glance.
Who is this alien? Things might go easier for you if you tell me about him.
Let me speak to your Führer. I'll tell him everything he wants to know.
You'll be glad to talk to me before I'm through with you.
Major.
Chairman Enig.
The chairman gives a perfunctory salute.
Your Excellency, I am honored. I've been interrogating these two spies, captured in the very...
I've had a full report.
Enig, in a pale brown shirt with a red swastika armband, moves past the armed guards to have a closer look at Spock.
You are not from Zeon.
Obviously.
Where do you come from?
I'll explain when I see the Führer.
What is your business with the Führer?
I'll discuss that only with him.
Pig! You are speaking to the chairman of the party.
That's enough, Major.
Thin-lipped, the chairman steps closer to Kirk.
What were the weapons found on you? What design? Our famous SS laboratories have been unable to discover how the weapons work.
Excellency, give me a few minutes with them. I promise you I'll have...
Had a few minutes without result. The trouble with you, SS, is that you don't realize that punishment becomes ineffective after a certain point. Men become insensitive.
Yes, Excellency.
Lock them up. Let their pain argue with them. Then I will question them.
Excellency, the standing order is to interrogate and execute. The interrogation is finished, therefore...
Finished? What have you learned? Hold them for an hour.
Excellency, the order is...
That is my order, Major. I suggest you do not disobey it.
Yes, Excellency.
Enig goes.
All right, pigs. I shall keep my eye on the clock, and when the hour is up, you will die most unpleasantly, I promise you. Lock them up.
Kirk and Spock are hustled into a barred cell.
John Gill was the kindest, gentlest man I ever knew. For him to be a Nazi is impossible.
The Zeon prisoner in the next cell gets up from his bunk and looks to make sure no guards are in sight before he speaks.
Why did they take you? You're not a Zeon. He certainly is not one. Why do the Nazis treat you as enemies?
Why do the Nazis hate Zeons?
Why? Because without us, to hate would be nothing to hold them together. So the party has built us into a threat, a disease to be wiped out.
Is Zeon a threat to them?
Where did you come from? Our warlike period ended dozens of generations ago. We came here, we thought we were civilizing the Ecosians.
It would seem the assumption was premature.
Were they like this when you first came here?
Warlike, yes. But not vicious. That started when the Nazi movement began. It was only a few years ago.
That would coincide with the time of John Gill's arrival.
When they destroyed us here, they will attack our planet. They'll use the technology we gave them. The danger is that taking life is so repugnant to our people, I'm afraid we'll go down without a struggle.
His lip trembles.
But after... what I saw on the street today, I think I could kill.
Kirk, his back lacerated, goes over to the Zeon.
Do you know the plan of this building?
Why?
If we can get to the SS weapons laboratory, get our weapons back, we might be able to stop the slaughter of the Zeons.
Why should you be interested in saving Zeons?
We must get our communicators. Contact the ship.
I point out, Captain, the flaw in the plan is this locked door and the guard beyond it. To the logical mind, the outlook is somewhat gloomy.
Kirk glances at his arm where McCoy injected the transponder, then up at the light bulb on the wall.
The transponders?
Yes.
And a way to shed some light on the gloom, Mr. Spock.
Of course. The rubidium crystals in the transponders.
Kirk pulls back the mattress on his bunk, revealing a lattice of thin metal strips. Kirk breaks one of the strips off. It's about an inch wide and 3 foot long, with rivet holes at either end. He uses it to gouge into his forearm. He fails, but hands it to Spock and holds out his arm.
Are you trying to kill yourselves?
Spock cuts out the small transponder located just beneath the skin. Kirk takes the metal strip and tries to locate Spock's transponder. The young Zayan watches anxiously.
No, it's there. McCoy put it in.
He finds it. Spock fits the transponders into the rivet holes.
You're the thickest computer, Mr. Spock.
Yes. It will be necessary to hold the crystals rigidly at a specific distance, which I believe should be 27.2 millimeters. 27.2 millimeters will be approximately there. That is, of course, crude estimation.
Of course. What is it you're making there, son? Some kind of radio?
No, not radio. Power from those lights is very low.
Yes, to reach that light, I shall require some sort of platform.
I would be honored.
Now, rubidium crystals should find enough power here to achieve the necessary stimulus. As I recall from the history of physics, the ancient lasers were able to achieve the necessary excitation even using crude natural crystals.
Oh, Mr. Spock, the guard did a very professional job on my back. I'd appreciate it if you'd hurry.
Yes, of course, Captain. You realize that the aim will, of course, be very crude.
I don't care if you hit the broadside of a barn. Just hurry, please.
Captain, why should I aim at such a structure?
Never mind, Spock. Just get on with the job.
Spock, balanced on Kirk's back, bends the strip of metal in two so that the rubidium crystals in the rivet holes are about an inch apart. He holds it to the light and points it at the door. A red beam shoots out. The door lock starts to melt. Kirk winces.
Oh, my goodness!
The lock melts, and the cell door swings open a fraction.
Beautiful. Spock, Spock.
Beautiful. Over there. I'll create a commotion.
Help! Help! I'll talk! I can't stand it anymore. I'll talk. Guard! Guard! I'll talk. The pain.
An officer comes up to the cell and Spock gives him a Vulcan nerve pinch.
Take me with you. Give me a chance to fight them.
Captain, I remind you, we did not intend to fight.
Take me with you, or you'll never find the laboratory.
Kirk looks at Spock.
Take him with us, Mr. Spock. He's got a point. He's our guide.
Spock unlocks the Zeon cell. Later, with Kirk wearing the officer's uniform and toting a pistol, they come up to the hallway of the headquarters building.
Which is the laboratory door? The end of the hall.
Kirk grabs the Zeon's collar, leading him and Spock towards the laboratory door at gunpoint. A soldier comes out of the lab, locking the door behind him.
All right, Zeon pigs, move!
Kirk bumps into the soldier.
Oh, Zeon pigs! They do nothing right. Don't worry, they're on their way to the laboratory for experimental work. They'll pay. Move!
The soldier continues on his way. When they reach the lab door, Kirk produces the soldier's keys with a dry smile.
Move, move!
They step inside.
Cover the door.
Kirk hands the Zeon his pistol and leaves him guarding the door while he and Spock search the shelves and workbenches of the laboratory.
Here they are, the communicators. Disassembled. Can you get one to work?
Possibly.
Who are you people? Phasers?
I did not see them.
Where do you come from?
Kirk goes over to a wall and takes down a clipboard. Outside, the soldier goes to unlock another door and realizes his keys are missing. He pulls out his gun and goes back towards the lab. Inside, Kirk reads from the clipboard.
The alien pistols have been sent to Gestapo Command Headquarters. Well, that takes care of the phasers.
The soldier comes in and stares at Kirk and Spock. The Zeon steps from behind the door, clubs the soldier to the ground, and starts to strip him of his uniform.
You
You Zeons for peaceful people are pretty thorough.
Yes, with this uniform, we can steal a car, get out of the capital.
We came to get John Gill.
Captain, without phasers, and until we're able to communicate with the ship, it is illogical to assume that we can hold out against the entire military force of this planet.
All right, Mrs. Spock, you made your point. Get into the uniform and hide those ears again.
Spock throws Kirk a look.
Hunting's good. We've got so many Zeons, we've got to dump them outside.
Kirk and Spock in uniform stretcher the Zeon out past the guards. A manhole cover opens. The Zeon lets himself down into a system of concrete subterranean tunnels, reaching for a steel ladder with his foot. Kirk and Spock in Nazi uniform follow him down. Spock replaces the manhole cover. At the far end of the tunnel, a man waits with his gun cocked.
Who's with you? David, it's all right. They helped me escape from the prison. I owe them my life.
Isak, what is all this?
Abram. Abram, thank God you're well.
Isak hugs Abram.
This is my brother. They were in the prison, beaten as I was, Abram.
Why were you in that prison?
I was trying to see the Fuhrer.
The Fuhrer?
So if I can see him, there may be a way of stopping this insanity.
Abram, I owe them my life.
Abram glowers at his younger brother.
Isak. Ulete is dead. Shot down in the streets.
Isak slowly turns away, stunned, his lip trembling. Kirk and Spock look on solemnly.
She would have been my wife.
He walks away. Abram's expression hardens.
She lived for 5 hours while they walked past her and spat on her.
Isak shuts his eyes.
Our own people were unable to help her. Now you ask me to help strangers.
Abram turns his cold blue eyes on Kirk and Spock.
If we adapt the ways of the Nazis, we're as bad as the Nazis.
Abram lowers his eyes.
Captain, I suggest the most profitable use of our time would be to reassemble our communicators. May I work undisturbed somewhere?
Abram nods curtly at Kirk and Spock.
This way.
Later, Kirk and Spock are alone in a small underground chamber hewn from rock.
Using parts from both, I've completed one communicator. I do not know if the circuits are correct, Captain. There is no way to test it, except in actual use.
The Enterprise won't be within range for another hour.
The Zeons are led in by two soldiers and a blonde woman toting a gun.
Over there against the wall, all of them.
The girl on the blue screen, Captain, the one receiving the medal.
Darius.
Quiet. Hands in the air, Zeon swine. So you're the three who escaped from the Chancellery Detention Center. What was your plan? Speak, it's the last chance you'll get.
I must see the Fuhrer. It's urgent.
Urgent? I'll bet it is.
I alone am responsible for what happens here.
She looks at Abram.
Do you know what we do to responsible Zeons?
The woman shoots Abram.
Now we've finished the job.
She steps towards Kirk, her pistol raised menacingly. Isak distracts the blonde Nazi and Kirk grabs her gun.
Stop, you Nazis. After you've killed the last of us off, what do you do? Turn the guns against yourselves? No, don't shoot. Don't shoot, please.
No. Wait.
Abram gets up.
No more.
You've proved they're on our side.
Now, please forgive us. But we had to be absolutely certain.
Yes, if we had taken you into our confidence, we could have betrayed all our people if you had been Nazi spies. All right, leave us.
The Gestapo methods are frighteningly efficient. Now, we must be very, very careful in order to survive here. Now, we of the underground don't know who our leaders are. That way, if we break under pressure, we can only betray a handful of our people.
If this young lady is a Nazi, a hero of the fatherland, we saw her being decorated.
I'm an Ekoshan, fighting the terrible thing that's happened to my people. The decoration, It was for betraying my own father to the party.
Spock raises his eyebrows at Kirk.
It was my father's idea. Zio used to be very close to the Führer, and they saw the changes and where they were leading. He turned against the party. They imprisoned him, and Melikon sentenced him to death.
Melikon? The deputy Führer. He's taken over.
My father denounced me, making it appear as though I had betrayed him. He gave me a weapon to continue the fight with.
But how could this have seemed right to John Gill?
Who?
John Gill, your Führer. He's one of our people.
And what is your people?
Spock and Kirk exchange a cautious look and a nod.
I'm Captain James Kirk of the United Spaceship Enterprise. This is my first officer, Mr. Spock. John Gill, your Führer, was sent here by the Federation as a cultural observer.
Isaac, Abraham, and Darris stare.
You mean that the Führer is an alien?
That is correct.
Abraham looks at Isaac. Darris shakes her head in disbelief.
I grew up to admire him, and later to hate and despise everything he stands for. But I always thought he was one of us. Now to hear that he's an alien sent here to destroy us.
That was not his mission, ever. He was sent here to observe, not to interfere. Something went wrong, and that's why we're here, to find out and to correct. We must see him.
It's impossible. Even if this were another time, it still would be impossible. He sees no one, no one but Melikon. He's under maximum security.
Maximum security. Is he so afraid?
And there are many of us, both Ekosians and younger Zeons, who would gladly risk our lives to kill him.
I don't understand what's going on here. This goes against every principle that John Gill ever believed in. Our only chance is to see him, and quickly.
He makes a speech tonight from the Chancellery. All the top party officials will be there.
Will you be there?
Of course. As a symbol of the proper attitude toward the fatherland.
As an honored member of the party, she could get us past the guards.
Only the topmost trusted officials will be allowed in. The country will watch from the view screens.
No one knows for sure, but I'm afraid it'll be a formal declaration of war against Zeon. Their final solution.
You must get us in there.
It would be suicide.
Well, it's a risk living in all the way things are going. If the captain believes he has a chance, I'm willing to commit suicide with him.
You, Zeon. You expect to get into the Chancellery?
It's even more my fight than yours.
Kirk, Spock, and Isaac get out of a staff car in Gestapo uniform, carrying a camera and lights. The guards stare.
Lights! You, what is your business here?
Get me some lights on her!
Another car pulls up.
Party Secretary Darris.
The Führer Special Documentary Corps. Smile, Corporal.
Excuse me.
Kirk holding the cine camera and Spock and Isaac with the lights follow Darris into party headquarters.
Captain, I'm beginning to understand why you Earthmen enjoy gambling. No matter how carefully one computes the odds of success, there is still a certain exhilaration in the risk.
Very good, Spock. We may make a human of you yet.
I hope not.
They make their way to the main room, catching a shot of Chairman Enik as he passes by.
Lights?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Where does the Führer enter?
He doesn't. They watch him on the big screen. There, at the end of the room. He broadcasts from the booth for security.
I've got the booth curtained off.
Melikon, the deputy Führer, struts around the room.
Bring that light to the side of her face.
Where's the entrance to the broadcast booth?
There, at the end of the corridor.
Kirk looks. Two soldiers guard the door.
You're not going to try to get into the broadcast booth.
We're going to try.
Sir, is this light a little higher, better here?
Good.
If you'll distract the guard long enough, I can get a machine gun. It's a small booth. I can shoot through the door.
We're here to get John Gill and alive, not for your personal satisfaction. Is that clear? Let's try down there.
They move off.
Lights, please.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, this is for the record of the Führer's final solution speech.
We're documenting the men responsible.
Spock gets a look in the booth.
Smile, gentlemen. There'll be more coverage later. Thank you. Let's get a movie shot down the hall.
They head off down the hallway. Isaac seethes.
So what have we accomplished? You should have let me shoot him.
Captain, it was John Gill. But he never moved, never once looked up.
Yes, well, that may be part of the plan, the semi-divine detachment.
Or a deep psychosis.
Maybe simpler than that. He may be drugged. We need McCoy. Is there a place, a room we can be alone for a few minutes? I'm going to send for help.
Send for?
This takes too long to explain. Any place will do.
Cloakroom?
Alone in the cloakroom.
It may not have the range it had. In fact, it may not work at all.
Think positively, Spock.
Spock gives him a dry look.
Spock to Enterprise. Spock to Enterprise. Come in, Enterprise.
Enterprise, Lieutenant Uhura.
Captain here, put McCoy on.
Yes, sir. Captain, we're not reading you well. You're 9 points into the low frequency band.
We're having difficulty. Patch historical computer into uniform section. I want McCoy outfitted as a Gestapo doctor, Nazi Germany, old Earth date 1944. Make him a colonel.
Yes, sir.
Search the building.
Chairman Enig sends two SA officers out of the main room. Isak, sipping a drink with a female dignitary, overhears the order. He goes over to Darris and leads her out towards the cloakroom where Kirk and Spock are hiding.
What have you got, Jim?
We found John Gill. At least we've seen him. He may be drugged, hypnotized, or psychotic. You'll have to make a determination. Hurry with that uniform. What is it?
Isak just heard two security men. They picked up your broadcast and pinpointed it within this building. They're starting to search.
If there's going to be a delay in transporting the doctor, I suggest we cancel our...
Kirk Enterprise, what's happening up there?
Dr. McCoy is having difficulty with that uniform, sir.
Well, send him down naked if you have to. Kirk out.
McCoy materializes.
It's true. I only half believe what you said.
McCoy is in full SS uniform, but is still trying to force a boot onto his right foot.
Stupid computer made a mistake in the measurements, all right? Boot's too tight.
There is a logical way to proceed, Doctor. You point your toe, apply equal pressure to either side of the boot, and push. We have no time for emotionalism.
McCoy manages to get the boot on.
This is Dr. McCoy, our chief medical officer.
Darris, secretary to the National Socialist Party.
How do you do?
He takes in their uniforms.
What in blazes is this?
Chairman Enig and two armed soldiers burst into the cloakroom.
Chairman Enig.
Kirk turns to McCoy.
The colonel is drunk. He's a little too much to drink.
I see.
Yes, he thought he would embarrass the Fuhrer.
Yes, a doctor should have more pride.
You were right to conceal him. There's a spy in this building with a secret transmitter. We're conducting a search. Hail the Fuhrer.
Hail Fuhrer.
Hail the Fuhrer.
The chairman goes.
Well, Captain, I do not understand how he failed to recognize us.
Nor do I. But luck is something you also fail to recognize, Mrs. Park.
True. I shall reconsider.
The Fuhrer's speech.
Let's go.
Hail Fuhrer!
John Gill appears on the screen, sitting stiffly, his mouth completely obscured by one of the microphones.
Incursions. The job ahead is difficult. It requires courage and dedication. It requires faith.
Darris, Kirk, Isak, and McCoy watch the screen.
The Zeon colony has existed for nearly half a century.
Watch his mouth.
If we fulfill our own greatness, that will all be ended. Working together.
Captain, his speech follows no logical pattern.
Random sentences strung together.
He looks drugged, Jim. Almost at a cataleptic state.
To reach our goal. And we will reach that goal.
McCoy leans across to Kirk.
Got to get a close look at him. Take
must be decisive. Every thought directed toward a goal. This planet can become a paradise if we are willing to pay the price.
Kirk and his team slip away.
As each cell in the body works with discipline and harmony for the good of the entire being.
Gentlemen, so must I want a picture of you two with the hero of the fatherland listening to the stirring Fuhrer speech. Get that light over there, please. Get this light around here. Long smile, gentlemen. Smile, turn around. Smile, and now.
Spock and Isak dispatch the two guards outside the booth. Spock tries the door.
Clock, keys. Bring them.
Hail, Fuhrer!
Melikon, the deputy Führer, takes the podium in front of the screen.
Hail, Führer!
Hail, Führer! Hail, Führer!
The Führer has given us our orders, and we pledge him our lives in this sacred task. Death to Zeon!
Death to Zeon! Death to Zeon!
Kirk and the others drag the guards into the booth. Gil doesn't react. McCoy examines him.
Definitely drugged, almost comatose.
What drug?
I can't identify without a medicop. Without knowing, an antidote would be dangerous.
Is there anything you can do?
I can give him a general stimulant, but it would be risky. Take the risk.
McCoy gives Gil an injection.
But despite our best efforts, they remain like a cancer eating away at our state.
The white-haired man doesn't react in any way.
Our patience has limits.
There's no reaction. Whatever you gave him isn't working.
Boom. Increase the dosage.
By working in the dark, I could kill him.
If they find us here, we'll all be killed.
10 minutes ago, on our Führer's orders, our troops began their historic mission. In the cities, the eliminations have started. Within an hour, the Zeon blight will forever be removed from Akos.
It's begun. It's finally begun.
The stimulant's working.
I now announce.
He's reaching a level of consciousness.
That the glorious final.
It's almost like he's in a light sleep. Now that's as much as I dare do.
Our entire solar system will forever be rid of the disease that was Zeon.
Spock, try to get through to him with a mind probe. If you can't, Bones, you'll have to use a stronger stimulant, no matter what it does.
Our space fleet is on its way towards Zeon.
Spock, in his Gestapo uniform, rubs his hands together and places them on Gil's head.
This is the time of destiny. Hail victory!
Hail victory! Hail victory! Hail victory!
There's one chance left. If you'd use the weapons you have, you could destroy the fleet.
That would mean the death of thousands of Ecosian spacemen.
I know. Many of my friends are aboard that ship. Many of the underground.
Yes, but against those thousands are millions upon millions of innocent Zeon lives. We've got to choose the lesser of two evils.
Kirk puts down his gun.
It could save Zeon. But what about Akos, Captain?
Spock moves away from Gil.
I've created a condition in which Gil cannot initiate speech or any other action, but he can reply to questions.
Well done, Spock.
Kirk leans in to Gil.
They've kept what's left of him as a figurehead.
Quite correct. For the last few years, the real power has been Melikon.
Kirk sits Gil upright in his chair.
Gil. Gil, why did you abandon your mission? Why did you interfere with this culture?
Gil frowns, but doesn't look up at Kirk.
Planet fragmented. Divided. Took lesson from Earth history.
But why Nazi Germany? You studied history, you knew what the Nazis were.
Most efficient state Earth ever knew.
Quite true, Captain. A tiny country, beaten, bankrupt, defeated, rose in a few years to stand only one step away from global domination.
But it was brutal, perverted. Had to be destroyed at a terrible cost. Why that example?
Perhaps Gil felt that such a state, run benignly, could accomplish its efficiency without sadism.
Why, Gil? Why?
Worked. At first, it worked. Then Melikon began to take over. Gave me the drug.
His head lolls back.
Gil, can you hear me? You've got to tell those people what happened. You're the only one who can prevent the slaughter. Gil!
Kirk lets him go. The chair rocks back and Gil lies comatose. McCoy, in his SS uniform, leans over him.
He's still alive, but the drug they use is too strong. If I give him another shot, we're...
Bones, give him another shot.
I don't dare. Guard,
We've run out of time, Bones.
Wait. Hey, minute, Spock. Spock, take off the helmet.
Kirk grabs Spock just as Chairman Enik and two guards burst in.
The second time in one day, Doris is a hero to the Fatherland.
She captured a Seon spy that was attempting to assassinate the Fuhrer.
Gods?
Yes. Let us make an example of this traitor once and for all. We'll make a present of him to Melikon. Chairman Enik, this spy must be taken to Melikon.
Enik looks curiously at Isak, Kirk, and McCoy, all in their Nazi uniforms.
Pass them on my responsibility.
The guards usher Spock away. Enik raises an eyebrow and leaves. Isak looks in amazement at Kirk.
Enik is one of us.
Kirk turns to McCoy.
Stick close to Spock. Stall for time. And hope.
Spock is hauled before Melikon in the main room.
What is this?
A spy, Excellency.
A rare prize. The Deputy Fuhrer can see this is no ordinary Zeon.
Well, not a Zeon, definitely not.
Alone in the broadcasting booth with Gil, Kirk locks the door and administers another dose of stimulant. He kneels in front of the professor and shakes him by the shoulders.
Professor Gil, can you hear me? You've got to speak. You've got to speak. This is our last chance. Gil!
In the main room, Darris steps up to Melikon.
The Deputy Fuhrer is an authority on the genetics of racial purity. How would you classify this one?
Very difficult. Note the sinister eyes and the malformed ears. Definitely an inferior race.
Kirk slaps Gil. He doesn't react.
Professor. Professor! You've got to talk. You've got to tell them what happened. You've got to come out of it. Come on, Professor. Come on. Come on.
Gil starts to come round. He's facing the camera and the curtained-off window opening from the booth into the main room.
Note the low forehead denoting stupidity, the dull look of a trapped animal. You may take him now for interrogation, but I want the body saved for the cultural museum. He'll make an interesting display.
People of Ecos.
Go to the booth. See to the Fuhrer at once he's ill. Turn off that camera.
Hear me.
I suggest we leave and let our Fuhrer rest.
We were betrayed by a self-seeking adventurer who has led us all to the very brink of disaster.
Kirk hides out of sight as a guard batters at the booth door.
I ordered the immediate recall of the space fleet. This attack must stop. All units are to return to base.
Officers start to disperse.
To Zeon, I promise. This was not an aggression of the Ecosian people. Only one evil man. Melikon is a traitor to his own people. And all that we stand for. The Zeon people. I promise reparation.
Melikon grabs a gun from a guard and fires at the curtained-off window into the booth. Isak shoots Melikon dead.
Wait, soldier. There's been enough killing. Now we'll start to live the way the Fuhrer meant us to live.
In the booth...
I was wrong. The non-interference directive is the only way. We must stop the slaughter.
You did that, Professor. You told them in time.
Even historians fail to learn from history. They repeat the same mistakes. Let the killing end. Let...
His head falls back. Outside, Spock tries the booth door. Kirk is cradling the dead professor in his arms. He gets up and opens the door. Daris, Chairman Enig, and Isak are outside with Spock and McCoy.
Is he dead, Captain?
Dead. For so long, I've prayed for this. Oh, I'm sorry.
So is he.
You're giving us all a new chance.
Thank you. But go now. We must do the rest.
Enik and I will go in the air, offer a new way for our people. For all our people. Both Zeons and Ecosians.
Chairman Enig.
It is time to stop the bloodshed, to bury our dead.
Enig and Isak follow Daris into the broadcasting booth where Gil's body lies. Kirk looks back at Spock and McCoy, all three of them still in Nazi uniforms. He leads them away.
Well, Mr. Spock, I think the planet is in good hands.
Indeed, Captain. With the union of two cultures, this system would make a fine addition to the Federation.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Enterprise here, Captain.
Beam us aboard.
Later, back on the bridge in Starfleet uniforms.
Captain, I never will understand humans. How could a man as brilliant, a mind as logical as John Gill's, have made such a fatal error?
You drew the wrong conclusion from history, I think. The problem with the Nazis wasn't simply that their leaders were evil, psychotic men. They were. But the main problem, I think, was the leader principle.
What he's saying, Spock, is that a man holds that much power, even with the best intentions, just can't resist the urge to play God.
Thank you, Doctor. I was able to gather the meaning.
It also proves another saying. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Darn clever, these Earthmen, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Earthmen like Ramses, Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, Lee Kuan. Your whole Earth history is made up of men seeking absolute power.
Now, Spock, you obviously don't...
Obviously, Doctor, you failed to accept...
Gentlemen, we've just been through one civil war. Let's not start another. Mr. Chekhov... Take us out of orbit, warp factor 2, and hurry.
Chekhov grins at his captain. The Enterprise leaves orbit. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.